3, and we've done a verse-by-verse study in the book of Colossians, and we're getting near the end of the book. We're in Colossians chapter 3 tonight, and we're getting near the end of this chapter. Verses 20 and 21 we'll cover tonight. Verses 20 and 21, if you did not receive a handout, lift your hand up real high, and our ushers will be glad to bring you a handout right now. Okay, just lift them up high. The theme of this chapter, if you look down at verse 10, it says there, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things," notice again, "put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called." The theme of the chapter here is putting on Christ. Verse 2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore," verse 5, so, you know, "put to death those things of the old man, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge," verse 10 says. So there's a renewing process. We've put on Christ, and so now we're renewed in the knowledge of him. And that's a process we talked about, that renewing of our minds. And what's the result? As we renew our minds, the result there is verse 12, where we begin to put on these things like bowels of mercies, you know, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long suffering. We begin to change as we put on Christ. So last week we said, when we put on Christ in our daily lives, when we're putting on Christ, when we're, as I said, dressing for success spiritually, we're putting on Christ, then what does that look like in our family? How does that show up in my family? If I'm putting on Christ, how do I treat my wife? If I'm putting on Christ, see, it just gets real practical. I mean, we spent 2 chapters of nothing but just pure doctrine. Chapters 1 and 2, doctrine, 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 doctrine. Getting you rooted and grounded in who you are in Christ. Now chapter 3 is going to come and say, okay, here's what it looks like when your identity in Christ begins to get lived out. When you begin to put on Christ in your daily life, and then what does it look like? How does it show up? So he gets real practical here in chapter 3. And he says, well, the way it shows up is if you're putting on Christ, then you're forgiving. You know, you're forbearing, you're patient, you're merciful, you're kind, you're humble. You're not arrogant, rude, and obnoxious, and you know, always got to have your way and selfish. When we're putting on Christ, this is what it looks like. And so he gets very practical. And in verse 18, he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And we talked about those 2 verses last week. Those aren't the core roles of the husband and wife. Those are the responses to the other one's core role. So the husband, his core role is leadership. How does the wife respond to his core role? She responds with that submissive heart of, yeah, I want you to be the leader. I want to follow you. And then the wife's core role is one of nurturing and loving and caring and guiding the home. And boy, she's the glue that keeps it all together and has that nurturing that only she can do. How does he respond to her role? Well, he responds with love and he responds with praise and he responds with that, you know, just that love for her and that appreciation for her and that praise for her. So those are those responses. So when I'm putting on Christ, then I love my wife. I appreciate what she does. I see the value in what she does. When my wife's putting on Christ, then no longer does she want to, you know, try to be bossy or arrogant or try to put down her husband. She wants to encourage him to be the leader that God would have him to be in the relationship, you know, and in the home. Does that make sense? Say amen. Y'all got that. All right, now we move on now here to verse 20. And again, what does it look like when you have a home of people, you got a group of folks in a home, a family, and they're putting on Christ? Well, here's what it looks like. Verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So he says, here's what it looks like. When the kids are putting on Christ, they are obeying their parents in all things. Now, clearly, God expects kids to obey mom and dad. All right? You know, for some reason, in the 1970s, it became cool, you know, on primetime TV to have kids that were sassy and kids that were arrogant and back-talked and were just obnoxious and couldn't stand their parents and all that. And so we got a whole culture that's been raised up on the, you know, on that kind of stuff, you know. And it's real cool for kids on, you know, the Disney Channel to, you know, to be arrogant and to backtalk their parents and to think their parents are stupid and so forth. You know, but the Bible teaches us that kids are supposed to obey mom and dad. That means that they do what they're told, when they're told, without argument, backtalk, or disrespect. And some of you folks in here that are 60, 70 plus, you can give me a good amen to that. You know, kids need to obey. And they need to do it without backtalk, without, as my mom used to say, without sassing. You ever heard that expression, sassing? You know, without sassing, without backtalking. Now, the companion book, really, to Colossians would be Ephesians. They mirror each other. They're like left glove, right glove. I mean, they just go hand in hand. Go over to Ephesians 6 and keep your bookmarker here. Just go back two books to the left to Ephesians 6. You're not going to turn a few pages there. And you really got to cross-reference Colossians 3 there where it says that children are to obey their parents in all things. You need to cross-reference with that Ephesians 6. Look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? It's right. It's the right thing to do. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, when you look at that, verse 1 strictly deals with action. Obey them. Verse 2 deals more with the heart attitude. Honor. You know, sometimes children obey because mom and dad are bigger than them. You know? And they really don't have a whole lot of choice. They just have to do it because mom and dad are bigger, and mom and dad say do it, you know. But can kids obey in action, verse 1, but can they, while they're obeying, can they violate verse 2 and do it with a dishonorable spirit? Yeah, they can do it with a very disrespectful attitude. Now, some parents think that's okay. There are parents who are willing to accept that. They're willing to accept a kid as long as they'll just obey and do what I say to do. I don't care what attitude you do it with, just do it. You know, and so a lot of parents are okay with that. They think it's okay as long as the child obeys. If they do it with a rotten attitude, that's okay. At least they're doing what I say. You know, and so, you know, you say to your kid, you know, listen, I want you to go take the garbage out to the road. And the kid, I said take the garbage out to the road. All right, but why me? Always me. But he goes and does it. Now, there are a lot of parents who are okay with that. You know, I, for one, am one parent who I'm not okay with that. Because, you see, that violates verse 2, doesn't it? Honor thy father and mother. If a child obeys, but they do it in a way that dishonors their parents, is that right or wrong? It's wrong. When you combine Ephesians 6:1 and Ephesians 6:2, here's what you've got. It's in your handout there. Kids are to obey their parents and obey with a right... Does anybody want to take a guess at the blank? You got it. Attitude. Kids are to obey their parents, verse 1, and obey with a right attitude, verse 2. As parents, we cannot accept anything less than that. All right? As parents, it says there in your handout, as parents, it's our job to set godly boundaries and then ensure that our children stay in those boundaries. Now, why? Why is that our job? To set the boundaries and see that our kids stay in the boundaries. Why is that our job? Well, keep your bookmarker here in Ephesians, but go back to Colossians. We're going to kind of flip back and forth. Look back at Colossians 3, and what does the end of verse 20 say? Yeah, so why? Now think with me. Come on now, you got to think. Why is it my job as a parent to set a godly boundaries for my kids and then ensure that they stay in those boundaries? Why? What does the end of verse 20 say? Because it's well-pleasing unto the Lord, right? In other words, church family, God likes it. He likes it a lot when he sees children being obedient to their parents. He likes that. He likes it. I mean, how do you know? Bible tells me it's well-pleasing unto the Lord. Isn't that something? That God notices that? We think it's a light thing. God doesn't. Bible says that it's well. Did you know if you look up that word well-pleasing, that phrase well-pleasing? I looked it up, and the same Greek word that's translated there, well-pleasing, is the same Greek word that's translated acceptable when in Romans 12:1 he said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable unto God. Same word as well-pleasing. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable, same word, will of God. Same word is well-pleasing here. Talking about children obeying. The same word that he uses when he's talking about our dedication to God and how that's acceptable, it's well, he says that's the same word for how God thinks about children who obey. It's well-pleasing. It's just acceptable to God. He loves it. Now, what about when children disobey? What about when children disregard the boundaries that their parents have set? By the way, does that ever happen? It happens at my house. I don't know about yours. But, you know, you set boundaries and kids, you know, because of that sin nature, that flesh they carry around, like we carry around, you know, just like we want to push God's boundaries, they want to push our boundaries, kids. And what about when they do that? In your handout it says it's the parent's job to bring godly discipline so that the child learns obedience. The child has to learn obedience. You know, there's a verse back there in Hebrews where it says Christ learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, if Christ learned obedience, don't you think our kids have to learn it? You know, I mean, think about that. Wow, that's pretty impacting. Look, go back to Ephesians. I told you we're going to flip back and forth. Go back to Ephesians again, chapter 6, verse 4. It says there, after he admonishes children to obey their parents and do it with the right attitude, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, and notice that word, admonition of the Lord. The word admonition carries the idea of discipline or rebuke. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sometimes that means discipline. Sometimes that means that we have to rebuke our children as much as it hurts. How many of y'all remember the line your parents used, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? You thought that was a hokey line they used, right? Until you became a parent, right? And then you realize it's true. If the parents, now listen closely. If the parents don't teach the child obedience, then they end up raising a rebellious, disobedient, and disrespectful child. If the child doesn't learn obedience in the home, and that's where they're to learn it, then the child is not going to exercise obedience in other areas of life. There's going to end up being issues in other places in their life, maybe school, maybe civil laws, maybe at work when they get a job with the Lord, you know, That's the main thing. We want to teach them obedience so that then we leave home, they obey God because they've learned how to obey. They know how to obey. And so they understand what it means to obey God because they learned the principle of obedience at home. But take your Bible. Let's go to the Old Testament real quick. I want to show you something. Keep your bookmarker here and go to 1 Samuel. Now, you know where that is because we studied 1 Samuel last year. And this year we're studying 2 Samuel. So hopefully you know where that is. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And here God tells Samuel that he's going to judge the high priest Eli's house. And I want to show you here why God's going to judge his house. Look at 1 Samuel 3 and go to verse 13. 1 Samuel 3:13. Why is God going to judge Eli, the high priest's house? I mean, here's a guy oversees the temple. His kids were brought up around the things of God. And so why would God... Look at verse 13. It says, "For I have told him, Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he," what? "Knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he," what was the problem there? "Restrained them not." He knew what his sons were doing, and he did nothing about it. He was a passive, permissive parent who allowed his sons to be rebels. And they grew up to be rebels. And they grew up with a disrespect for authority, a disrespect for the laws of God, a disrespect for the temple, which was the house of God. They grew up with a disrespect for women. They grew up with a disrespect for morality. They took bribes. They committed fornication with women that would come. They used their position in very immoral ways. They were just sorry. And it's because Eli restrained them not. And in your handout, it says there are parents, you cannot become a permissive parent and allow your child to disobey without consequences. Why? Well, number one, because God is displeased when our children disobey. God is displeased when our children disobey. You remember what we read? Now I want you to do this. I'm trying to make it easy for us as we go through this. You know, I try to always let you know when we're going back somewhere to make it easier. And it's just things you learn from preaching a lot, you know, just to make things easier for people. And you need to put something in 1 Samuel because we're going to go back there, okay? So put something in 1 Samuel that's going to let you get back there quickly. And then go back to Colossians again. Go back to our verse-by-verse book here, Colossians 3. God is displeased when our children disobey. You say, how do you know? Because I know He's well pleased when they do obey. Look at verse 20, Colossians 3:20. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is," what did we read? It's what? Well pleased. So what's the so then that lets me know that when kids don't obey, what is that? That's displeasing. You know what's amazing to me is that as you read Paul's epistles to the church, you know what is amazing to me? Is that disobedient, rebellious kids, that's characteristic of lost people that don't know anything about God. Go to Romans real quick. Go to the left to the first book Paul wrote, Romans 1. Okay, this is the first chapter that Paul penned. And in Romans 1, remember he's laying out here about the wrath of God against sin, to set them up, to prepare them for grace and the gospel he's going to share with them. And in Romans 1, he's talking about the lost. He's talking about, well, look at verse 28, Romans 1:28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not..." He's about lost people, heathen people, that they don't want God. They don't want God in their knowledge. These are lost, heathen people that don't know God. Verse 29, "being filled with all unrighteousness." Now he's going to tell you what it looks like when you don't know God. Here's what it looks like. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. What's the next one there? Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural... He said, you know, people who don't know God, homes that don't have a knowledge of God, he said one of the characteristics is they got real disobedient kids. They're disobedient to parents. So when we let our kids disobey without consequences, I'm not saying you don't know the Lord. What I'm saying is we're living like we don't know the Lord. We're living our life and we're conducting our home like heathen people, like people who don't know God. Are y'all with me? Say amen. All right, go to 2 Timothy. Now we're going to go to one of the last books Paul wrote. All right, that Romans was the first one. Now you're going to go to the right of Colossians, several books. And go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's go to verse number 1. It says, this know also, 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, Paul said. Then he's going to give you characteristics of people who, if you look down there at verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. These are people who have denied the power, which the power is in the gospel. These are people who have denied the gospel of Christ. So again, the subject here is lost people. They've denied the gospel of Christ. They have a form of religion, but they've denied the gospel. Now look what he says. He describes these lost people, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and what's the next one, folks? Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Same kind of list as what we read in Romans 1. Isn't that something? Lost people who don't know God, they have disobedient kids. He said that as a rule, their kids don't learn obedience because that's something that we learn from the Lord, we learn from His Word, and so it's hard to instill that in your kids when you don't have that understanding. So he said a general, not that there aren't lost people that make their kids obey, I'm not saying that, but we're talking about general characteristics here. And he's saying that when you find children who are disobedient, that's characteristic of lost people who are heathen that don't know God. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the power of God. So why do we need to teach our children obedience? Why is it we need to never allow them to disobey without consequences? Why? Because God is displeased when our children disobey. I hope you see that clearly. Number two, because we rob our children of a blessing when we allow them to disobey. Now this is kind of more of a positive note here, that we rob our children of a blessing. You know, there's a blessing that comes in obedience. And if you look, go back to Ephesians chapter 6 now. I know we're hopping around, but if you go back to Ephesians chapter 6 there, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Look at verse 3. That it may be well with thee. He's talking to kids. And thou mayest live long on the earth. Now again, he's giving a general principle. He's not saying that all kids that die prematurely die because they're disobedient, or that, you know, there aren't kids who are disobedient that maybe live to 90 years old. It's not what he's saying. He's giving a general guideline and principle here. That when you get a teenager, many times a teenager who, and by the way, this is a quote from back in the Old Testament. And the idea of the passage there is that you got kids whose parents are teaching them the law of God. They're teaching them, you know, God's laws. So he said, you need to obey your parents as they teach you God's law in the Old Testament there, and honor them that it may be well with thee. And that, see, I mean, because in the Old Testament, there were strict penalties that came for disobedient children. They literally could have their life cut short because of disobedience and rebellion. And in a practical way today, You know, if a kid just disregards his parents' rules, the boundaries, is determined to overstep the boundaries, do his own thing, then this is when kids get into trouble. This is when kids end up making big mistakes that can cost them their life. And that's what Paul's trying to get across here. So when we allow our children to disobey, we rob them of a blessing, see? And then number three, the third reason why we need to teach our children to obey is because if we let them disobey without consequences, it says, these patterns will follow the child into adulthood. These patterns will follow the child into adulthood. You know, and the way I look at it, now this is just me, but I look at it as, you know, I'm preparing my sons to one day be somebody's husband. Could be sooner than we think, right, Wade? But you know, I'm preparing my sons to be a husband, someone's husband. I'm preparing them to be somebody's dad. I'm preparing them to be somebody's employee. And I take that serious. I tell my kids this. You know, when I discipline them, I'm doing this because I don't want you to carry these patterns into adulthood. And I tell them flat out, if you carry these patterns into adulthood, you're going to hurt the woman you marry. You're going to hurt your children. You're going to hurt people around you. And so I'm bringing this discipline into your life so that it'll teach you to change those behavioral patterns. Because if you don't, they're going to follow you into adulthood. Amen? And so that, you know, that's our motive there in training them. And discipline is not to be mean. It's because we're preparing them to go out into life. You know? And you know, you don't want your son's wife to think, what in the world did you do with him when he was little? He's impossible to live with. He's obstinate, he's rude, he's obnoxious. Boy, he hit it when we were dating, but boy, the truth came out after we said, I do. You know, and you don't want them, you don't want your children's future spouse thinking, man, what did you do raising this kid, you know, raising this guy or this woman? You know, and you're preparing them, see? And I understand kids grow up and they have to make their own choices and the free will and all that. And I understand that. But you're preparing them. Real quickly, grab your Bible, go back to Proverbs, and I want to show you a couple of Proverbs here that are just good Proverbs of wisdom. You know, Proverbs is written under the Old Testament law system, so you got to remember that when you read it. It's still written under the Mosaic law system, but there's so many good principles that are just principles of life that just carry through all the dispensations. Proverbs 22, there, verse 6 is a good one. As a general principle here, it says, Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is what? Oh, he will not depart. Again, it's a general principle, okay, that you train them up in the way they ought to go when they're old. You know, in other words, when they grow up, when they leave home, they're gonna follow the path they've been taught to follow. See? Those patterns will follow them into adulthood. Go over to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Look at verse 15. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to what? Shame. Verse 17 is the way it ought to be. See, you correct thy son, and notice, he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give, and this is God's design, children are to give what? Delight unto the soul of their parents. That's God's plan. Children are to bring delight to you, not be a headache to you. Proverbs 19, go back to Proverbs chapter 19. Look at verse 18. Proverbs 19, 18. Chasten thy son, notice, in other words, discipline him, while there is what? Hope. Now, what does that infer? Once your kids are grown and gone, it's over. It is done. Any impact, I mean, not that as an adult parent, hopefully you still can't have impact on them. Hopefully they still will come to you for wisdom and insight. But it's a different relationship once they grow and leave home. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know what that means? It means if you tell your teenager you are grounded for a week because you crossed a boundary, and then your teenager whines and cries and complains, and after 2 days you lift it, is that wise? No. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. You don't give in because of them whining or crying or complaining or whatever it may be. You can't do it. You've got to hold the ropes there. It says there in verse 19, next verse, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. And what that means is if you don't discipline your son, daughter, whatever the case may be, and you let the discipline go because they cry and they whine, you know, and you let it go. You know, then what it happens, you raise up a child that you're going to have to keep coming to their rescue over and over and over. They won't learn to stand on their own two feet. You're going to have to continually come to their rescue the rest of their life. You created it. And so you're going to have to keep coming to their rescue over and over and over again. In your handout, it says in so many homes, the children control the home. You know, they call the shots. You would think it would be impossible for a 3-year-old to run the house, but did you know it happens? It happens. You think a 5-year-old kindergartner could never rule the roost, but they do it. You know, and what happens is the parents allow the kids to make them miserable, basically. And that is not God's plan. You know, we read the verse there, Proverbs 29:17. Kids are to bring delight to your soul. They're to bring rest to you and delight. Some parents, and I don't understand this, I've never been this way, but some parents are, I don't know, they seem to be intimidated by their children. They're intimidated by maybe the child's threat, or they're intimidated by them crying, or they find it easier to give in to their temper tantrums, you know. It's just easier to give in to it. You know, when you're in the grocery line, and that kid, and I recently was in the grocery store, and this kid was throwing a fit because he wanted a chocolate bar or something, you know, and this kid was throwing a fit. No, no, it's close to supper. You cannot have that. You cannot have that. He just goes. Guess what? He got the chocolate bar. Now, is that wise, yes or no? No, that's stupid. You cannot do that. You cannot reward a rebellious child. You cannot allow a rebellious child to rule the home. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. They can wear you down. Can I get an amen to that? They can flat wear you down. And I'm going to tell you this. It takes an iron will, and it takes the grace of God to stand your ground and not let your child control you. You love them. And so what happens is sometimes you let that kid control you, and it's wrong. Sad are the children whose parents let them rule the roost. You're the parent, they're the kids. So if they're going to disobey, and if they're going to cross your boundaries, can I submit to you, they are the ones who should be miserable, not you? Does that make sense? Listen, you make their life miserable. Now, not to be mean. You're not doing it to be mean. But if they're going to disobey and disregard what you say, their life is made miserable, not yours. And again, it's not to be mean. You do it in order to teach them the blessings of obedience. The blessings of obedience. This Bible study should have been in that series on child rearing. But, you know, the same principles are there. We've put out 30 of those CD books, which have 7 messages on child rearing. And the 30 are just gone. The 11 o'clock, you 9:30 crowd, you are selfish, I tell you. I'm just kidding. But the 11 o'clock crowd, there was none left. We put 20 out Sunday morning and there was none left for the 11 o'clock crowd. But we've got more, I think. Do we have some more? Shannon, are you here? There's 10 more out, okay. We've got 10 more of those CD books in a nice, attractive book, and there's seven messages in there. And I encourage you to get them and listen to them. Pop it in your CD player in your van or car and redeem the time when you're just, it's dead time anyway. Turn off the radio and put in something that'll edify you. And get that teaching. It's on a donation. There's a donation box. If you can give, it's great because it helps us to make more. If you can't give, take one anyway. We want you to have it. There's a donation box there, and you just take one and you listen to those. This is important stuff. It's so important that God said, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. God is well-pleased when He sees children, teenagers, who are obedient and respectful of their parents. But boy, you got to start young. Amen, church? Man, it's got to start young. You know, because they grow up fast. So fast. Well, I'm gonna finish this up next week, and we're going to get into verse 20. So just keep your notes, bring them back. Next week, we're going to cover verse 21, which deals with fathers. And we actually get dads, moms, we can provoke our kids to anger. And I'm going to explain to you next week how we can do that and how we can keep from doing it. Actually, I'm going to turn it into positive, and I'm going to show you next week how we can keep from... You know, have you ever noticed some kids grow up and they're just angry children? They're angry and rebellious. How do we keep from doing that? And in fact, one of the messages in that series back there is angry and rebellious children, how does it happen? And next week we're going to talk about some of those things as we study verse 21, okay? So let's do this. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now.